views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Voices of Women is a talk radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voices, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stainis.
Oh, welcome to Voices of Women. I wanted to share a little bit about myself. I've been interviewing a lot of the Women of Wisdom Conference presenters that we're having coming in our upcoming conference, which is February 11th through the 15th. And I founded Women of Wisdom, the conference, in 1993. And my vision was to bring, after reading The Feminine Face of God, to bring great women leaders, mentors to Seattle area for us to hear and learn from them and hear their stories. And it was started off as a 1 year, you know, just a conference 1 year, and it immediately became known like this was going to be an ongoing conference, never knowing how long it really was going to last. And here we are in our 24th year. So it's kind of amazing for a conference, and it's because a Woman of Wisdom is a community. And part of the community is all these wonderful speakers and workshop leaders that come to us, and that's who I'm sharing with you today. I want to make sure you know you can find out everything about these people and the conference. Our website is the www.thewowconference.org. And we have specials for our featured guests. There's some early bird prizes, and there's also you can register for 2 3-hour workshops and receive 1 3-hour workshop for free when you register by December 31st. So all those specials are available through the end of the year. And so these people that you're hearing on the show, you could get their workshop for free if you register for 2 others. So that's a great deal. So today I am talking with Miriam Linderman. She is a leadership coach and mentor for women who want to be gentle, wise, powerful in their work and their lives. She was a corporate leader for 32 years in training, leadership, and organization development. She has roots as a yoga teacher and holistic health educator. Miriam brings deep wisdom to her practice, and she's also a seasoned workshop leader, speaker, writer, and a regular blogger for the Huffington Post. She'll be giving a workshop that's entitled Living from Our Souls, and it's going to be Saturday, February 13th in Seattle at North Seattle College. So welcome, Miriam.
Thank you. Glad you have me on.
Yeah, well, first I want to hear your story. We'd love to start off with people's stories, you know, how you went from being a corporate person, corporate trainer, to what you do now in your own business.
Great. Well, actually, the real question is, how did I go from being a yoga teacher to getting into the corporation, even a bigger leap? But actually, that was quite easy leap for me, because I had been trained in how to do workshops. And I spent all of my career, after I'd learned how to do workshops as a holistic health counselor, I ended up in corporations in training and development. And spent my entire career in the private sector and then the public sector. And I have to say that when it came time to leave, in my own mind, like, I had been preparing for 3 years, having had gone to coaching, training, and certification, I decided that it was now or never. I was almost 60, and that's like 2 years ago, and I thought, you know, I can I want to take a chance. I want to live something different. And that's how that shifted and why I decided to build my own business. And I have to say, I had no idea what I was getting into.
I knew that I could coach.
Yeah. Like, coaching was something I could do so easily and naturally because of everything that I'd learned over my entire lifetime, the whole human development movement. But business building was not something I had any idea about.
Mm-hmm. Yes, well, and I'm thinking, too, that I'm aware of a lot of women, particularly, but even men, leaving the corporate world to go work for themselves, to become entrepreneurs. And so why do you think that's so prevalent now?
Well, I think that what I'm hearing from people is that they know that there's something else, or they found that they wanted to explore that. And that's what happens in our lifetime, especially in the second half of life. Like, the first half of life, we're going after the things we think we're supposed to be getting. And then we start to look at, what do I really care about? What are my values? Where do I want to be? And that's, I think, what happens with women and men, where they, maybe they have enough of everything that they've already wanted. Maybe they also start to get in touch with their values. And then they say, no more, maybe I don't want to be told what to do or be in the system. Unfortunately, also, the other thing here is that a lot of these corporate environments can sometimes be very toxic. And, if you end up with a boss that is just a little bit abrasive, it can, or coworkers, it can really ruin the way that you spend the rest of your days. And so I think people are making choices now. There's more available to them.
Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lack of feeling part of the process, that disconnect that people have, that they're not really included in the decision making. They don't feel part of things, and so they want to feel more fulfilled in their life. So let's talk a little bit. Your workshop is called Living from Our Souls. So share with us what that means to you and why that's important.
Okay. The title actually at the beginning was much longer. It was Living from Our Souls in a World That's Trained Us to Ignore Them. And that theme has been prevalent in my life, and especially in the last few years, where it became so obvious that if I listen to that deep call within, so much then can be different. And we have not been taught to pay attention to that. In fact, we've been taught to be following the crowd and listening to what other people tell us. And I think that's really what the call is for me and why I wanted to do that workshop. Because when we do focus on who we really are, we truly know our values, truly sit with what our bodies tell us we should say yes to or could say yes to, then it becomes a very different life. And I wanted to be able to share that because actually the way to find out what your soul cares about is quite simple. It's really about paying attention to what you love. I will love a certain color. You love something else. I love art. You might love building things. But, we know, and usually from a very young age, that there are certain things we're more drawn to than others. And that's where we want to be able to focus. I want to work with the women when I meet them in February to get them to align with what's important to them. And for me, the soul is at the center of things. And it's a word that since the very beginning meant something. I never knew what it was, but it meant something. And now I pay attention to it. And I use the word, even though, like, in the corporate world, I would never have used it. Now I have the freedom to be able to do that.
And that's, and when you do your coaching, are you doing any training or coaching in the corporate world and that word is being accepted? Because there's still sometimes this, you know, we need to adapt our language for certain audiences.
I know. But, you know, the thing about these days is that there is such an, there's like a subculture. You turn to your right and left and everyone's taking yoga and learning, you know, all kinds of meditation techniques, and they use those words. So I think people are right there. Maybe not at the very top of the organization, but the people that I work with are often people in organizations, and they are senior leaders, and they come to me. I don't go to the organizations, so that I am not hiding those kinds of words, because you're right. You know, it frightens people somehow, although it's everywhere.
Yeah, and it's good. It's time to stop hiding that. We've had to hide it for so long, and and adapt, and, you know, try to fit in, and I think that's why we're off doing our own thing now. Everybody trying to do their own thing, but it is that wanting that, you know, our soul purpose, our, you know, what feeds our soul, and so given that, you know, what are you learning from all this of working with people to connect to living from their soul?
That they are so longing for it, and also so much longing to connect with those parts of themselves that they've put aside or decided to ignore. You know, that's really, like, critical. It's like getting, right now, it's, you know, there is not a lot of time. We don't have a big, long life, right? And so I think people are feeling the urgency to do something meaningful for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Especially when we reach a certain age, like, you know, we're a similar age. I think you're, mm-hmm. you know, over 60. I am too. And although my father lived to 100, so I have some more years to go. But still, you know that we're not our 40-year-old selves. We're this, all this. It's different, and so we're more, in working in alignment of what we. And focusing what we really want to do now in this last half of our life. Well, this is Christina. So we're going to take a short break and we'll come back and talk more with Miriam Linderman.
The 24th annual WOW Conference, United We Change the World, is February 11th through the 15th. Featured guests are Dr. Christine Page on Creative Dragon Energy. Dr. Susan Shumsky will show you how to awaken your third eye. And Mira Kelly will present a two-day intensive workshop on Beyond Past Lives. Join WOW for intimate, experiential, life-changing workshops and evening presentations that will inspire you. You can choose 2 half-day workshops and receive 1 half-day workshop for free through December 31st. Join a supportive community of women on their journey to discover and develop their passions and purpose in life. Women of Wisdom is the place to be. This February 11th through the 15th, go to thewowconference.org. That's the WOW conference.org to discover all the diverse offerings WOW has to offer you.
What does it mean to be healthy? For each of us, it means something a little different. Discover the art of herbal medicine, a natural way to help our bodies respond better to the modern-day stress and toxicity of our everyday lives. Using organic herbs from around the world, the skilled herbalists at Urban Wellness in Kirkland can help you choose the herbs that are right for your body. Find your herbal solutions for common health issues at urbanwellness.com. That's H-E-R-B-A-N wellness.com.
Sky Siegel co-hosts one of today's most popular psychic shows, Angels and Answers, with Artie Hoffman, as she communicates healing messages from the spirit world. These messages can be astounding, enlightening, and life-changing. Born with the God-given talent of inner guidance and the amazing ability to heal, Sky has healed thousands of people. Schedule a reading with Sky now. Call 908-500-1474 and visit skyofangels.com.
1230 WBLQ.
back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stainis, and I'm talking with Miriam Linderman. She's a presenter at Women of Wisdom. So, Miriam, can you give your contact information or, you know, website where people can discover more about you?
Yes, absolutely. It's miriamlinderman.com with the W's before that. That's my contact information.
Yeah. Okay, great. That's just your name. So, so you've been coaching people, and what do you find that, and I think you probably work particularly with women, I get the sense, what do you find that people are looking for when they come to you for coaching?
You know, what they're really looking for is a new way of thinking about things. When it comes down to it, it's like people have ideas about how life should be and what they should think about and how they should be thinking about things. And, you know, one little perspective change absolutely changes everything. It's like that simple shift. And when it comes to women, and especially women leaders, they are so competent already. They have so much expertise. And then somehow we learned to doubt ourselves. So they come in and they're full of doubt and they are incredibly competent. And what they're looking for is a way to lean into that competence and not listen to those voices. You know, it's that story of they apply for a new position and, you know, women are 150% ready for it, or that's what they think they should be, and then the men are about 20% ready and they say, I'm going to go do it. And it's that shifting the way that they think about themselves. Not to think that they have to be perfect at that, and to try things and to open their worlds. So they're looking for freedom, to be honest. We're all, mm-hmm. I mean, we look for that. Usually freedom from our own thinking, our own ways of seeing the world.
And that's curious. Like, what does it mean to you to be free, to have freedom?
So it's been a theme for me, I think, my whole life, and that is how am I getting in my own way? What am I, and to go and look for sources of mentors, or, you know, it could have been therapy at some point, but where are the answers so that I don't have to limit myself in the ways that I do, however that might be? For me, that's a lot about what freedom is. You know, how can I shift how I think about the things I'm thinking about?
Yeah, we kind of get stuck in our patterns too. And how do we get out of that? That's getting stuck.
Yes, yeah, so it's like really moving past the stuck places. And women seem to have, because they do so many things and they have the perfectionist tendency, thinking actually that perfectionism is a good thing, and actually it isn't. It doesn't work. Excellence is fine, but there's no such thing as perfect. I mean, you want to have someone be perfect when they're doing surgery on you. That's a different story. But life itself is creative, and so it's all about exploring and trying different things and finding out what you care about and making choices about what do you think? What do you think about anything? Like, is that your conditioning, or is that really what your soul is telling you about life? And that's where I think a lot of the freedom comes. It's in the shifting of perception. That's what coaching is so fabulous about. It allows you to dream about the things you have always dreamed about, and then take some action as well and not limit yourself. Like, that's huge freedom.
Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, you know, this whole perfection thing is like, we got to have everything perfectly lined up. And you were saying how women will wait, you know, it's like 80%. And we really learn on the job. We learn while we're doing. So just get into it and start doing it. Because if you wait till you're perfect, you'll be waiting your whole life.
Yeah, you won't have a life, actually. I
mean, yeah.
The whole thing is to try different things, experiment, and, you know, we have this saying that I've heard recently, fail fast, fail forward. Like, just try, because it's like prototyping. You try one thing and try another. And in the workplaces, it's not always that fun because, you know, nobody wants to have things not work right. And then you better have, you know, somebody supporting the experimentation. But if you don't have that, then you have no innovation. You know, if people can't make mistakes, because how else do we learn? There's no other way to learn, unfortunately, but that's the way it is. But, you know, most of the time life doesn't fall apart just because of the way in which we live it. It doesn't fall apart when we make a little mistake, but there's no other way to learn. And so
right.
My encouragement is, you know, go find the thing that you love, and because this is one life. I mean, maybe you have another life. I don't know about it. Nobody wrote back to tell me. So this is it. And may as well really, like, enjoy and find out what does your essence want from you? And how do you feel? How can you feel the very best you can? Because when you're not living from that soul place and essence, I don't know, we get sick. We have car accidents. All sorts of things happen just to get our attention. And we have all the information in our bodies. We have them in the things that we love. And, you know, part of the work that I do is to really underscore that we need to be gentle with ourselves at all the time. You know, you take small steps towards the things you love. You talk to yourself well. You know, I have people at night, you know, you do... say to yourself, you know, what are three things that I've done today that I feel good about? They don't have to be big, but every time that we say something encouraging to ourselves, we change the tone inside, and we grow to become that. We become gentle with ourselves and encouraging, because if we're not our own champions, then who's going to be a champion for us?
So. Yeah, that's true. Well, I want to talk about, because this is the things that, you know, we're talking about, you know, moving into leadership, you know, and testing the waters to be a leader and you know, not worrying about being perfect and all that. And so let's talk about what leadership means to you and what do you want women to know about how they can be an impactful leader?
Mm-hmm. So I listened to your intro, and I would say I have exactly the same definition. We're very close to it. I think we are all leaders of our lives, and we all make an impact, and we can do it consciously or not. So everyone is a leader. You know, when you help someone cross the street, that's you being a leader. Stepping into being a leader is about taking responsibility for who you are, what your impact is, what you're going to do with your life. And you don't have to be, you know, this concept of being a front of the room leader or someone who, you know, before I left the organization, my model for leadership was all about hierarchy, power, status. That isn't what leadership is. Leadership is making a stand, knowing what we care about, and living from that place. So I don't think it's, I mean, we need to become, for sure. Like, there's a lot of work that we can be doing to make ourselves be more effective. But leadership is a way of being. It's actually like an action verb. Somebody said that recently, and I thought, wow, okay, I like that. And I can't remember what that second question was that you asked.
Oh, well, how we can be more impactful, but also maybe go into, I'd like to, you know, what stops women from stepping into leadership?
The kinds of things that I've seen with the people that I've worked with, collapsing when someone in a higher position criticizes them. Asking for what they want, feeling that they are peers with others, like we really are. Those are some of the things. Doing too many things, thinking they have to be more respectful than they have to be. And by that I mean is that you can also ask for what you want in a respectful way, but even feeling that you can't. So it's like saying yes, saying no, setting boundaries, and going after those things, not playing small. I think those are the ways in which women certainly do hold themselves back. And also trying to fit in. the you know, what I know for sure from my own experience is the more authentic you are, the more yourself you are, the better you are out there, because we need the uniqueness, and we're all like completely unique. There's, you know, we don't have to become someone else. We just have to become more of ourselves. I think.
Yeah, and there's, I think there's an unlearning about that, because I think we are, you know, there's sort of a culture conditioning when we're young, we, you know, wanting to fit in, thinking we have to fit in the whole school, you know, through the school system, and then through our teenage years with the peers system. You know, that need to fit in. And it takes a long time to kind of shake that off, because then we go into the corporate world. And again, there's that need to fit in, that desire for that, because you want to be accepted. You want to be applauded for the work you do without. And then you give up on yourself, you know, what you want to stand for, until you learn how to, until you kind of go crazy, till you, okay, I got to do something about this.
I couldn't have said that better. And you know what? It's not just in the corporate world, which, you know, for people who care about the soul and so on, well, you know, we feel a little outside of that world in a way. But it's like everywhere. We always try to fit in until we make some decisions and we pay attention to what's actually right for me. You know, and I think we do that in many ways, because we pull apart from, you know, the place that our family of origin, we may raise our children differently, we make different shifts, and the marketplace is a big pull. So for me, you know, one of the, what I want most for the women who come to my workshop is that they actually come out of there knowing that they are strong within themselves, and that they fall in love with who they are. Like, really. Like, there's a reason why you and I are not the same, right? We each have gifts. We all of us have gifts. This is what I think is so critical. And that makes us leaders. Leaders to stand for something unique and mm-hmm. make a difference. Like, look at your conference. So many more years later, you probably had no idea.
No, I had no idea. And somebody said, if I'd known, would I have, would I have even started? You know,
well, I bet you would have anyway.
Oh yeah, I know. It's like I wasn't here stepping into, it's like some of us are just sort of drawn to step into leadership, and we just do it. We're not happy unless we do get into, it's more for me like being part of the process and being part of a team and, you know, creating something. Well, oh, we're at our break time, and thank you so much for being on the show, Miriam. Reminder, she's going to be giving a workshop Saturday, February 13th at the conference Living From Our Souls. Check it out at www.thewowconference.org.
What does it mean to be healthy? For each of us, it means something a little different. Discover the art of herbal medicine, a natural way to help our bodies respond better to the modern-day stress and toxicity of our everyday lives. Using organic herbs from around the world, the skilled herbalists at Urban Wellness in Kirkland can help you choose the herbs that are right for your body. Find your herbal solutions for common health issues at urbanwellness.com. That's H-E-R-B-A-N wellness.com.
Sky Siegel co-hosts one of today's most popular psychic shows, Angels and Answers, with Artie Hoffman, as she communicates healing messages from the spirit world. These messages can be astounding, enlightening, and life-changing. Born with the God-given talent of inner guidance and the amazing ability to heal, Sky has healed thousands of people. Schedule a reading with Sky now. Call 908-500-1474 and visit skyofangels.com.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. This is Chris Stainis, and I'm speaking with another WOW presenter, Karen Cleveland. And Karen has worked with thousands of pet owners, trainers, body workers, and other animal professionals locally, which is in the Seattle area, and nationally, to help strengthen the human-animal bond. She troubleshoots behavioral and medical issues, facilitates a client's ability to understand and care for their animals, often helps clients whose pets are aging and dying, and even communicates with those who have had that have passed over to help support their humans with questions and closure. Karen taught and served on faculty with Communication with All Life University and now speaks and teaches all over the Northwest region as she works to create a better world for animals. And boy, do we need that. You know, our animals are very precious to us. I have a couple of lovely cats. Karen will be giving a workshop at the conference on February 14th, Sunday evening. It's actually open to men, too. It's How to Listen When Animals Talk. So welcome, Karen.
Thank you. It's so great to be here and be able to talk about the animals and on their behalf today.
Yeah, on their behalf. Well, how did you come to talk to animals? Tell us your story, how this became your passion.
Oh, yeah, that is interesting. I, of course, grew up with animals, nothing special. I just never felt like I had more than a normal connection, loved animals always, but not coming from a psychic background or a family of psychics or anything like that. I never really thought it was possible or thought about it. One day, though, we had a dog, and my daughter, you know, as we're grown, this was less than 10 years ago probably, I would tell my daughter things like, oh, buddy wants you to get him some water, or he wants to go outside, he wants to do this or that. And one day, my daughter says to me, Mom, how do you know what buddy wants? And I thought, oh, well, I don't know. How do you not know? And so I use this illustration not as a story that I have a special gift, but I think all of us that have animals in our lives have a special connection. We just don't really sit down and think about it or identify it. So I started, a number of things happened, and I started studying energy work and some spiritual work and taking animal communication classes and really started defining that. I've always loved animals, like I said, and the animal communication has been a great way for me to help create a better world for animals. Like you said, that's one of my goals, but also to help educate other people in helping their animals or other animals, you know, live a better life. So it's come from just a series of revelations, you know, weird circumstances and coincidences, and studying and really applying myself and dedicating to this is who I am. I work for the animals. So that's how it all happened.
Mm-hmm. And so is there a purpose you have when you talk to animals? A specific...
A purpose?
Yeah.
Well, I do client sessions, and it depends. Last night, there were litter box issues. A few weeks ago, there was a lost cat. There might be, you know, other behavior issues or health issues that people want me to talk to their animals about. And so that's kind of what I check in with. I also, it might sound a little bit odd, but to me, animal communication is a little bit of a spiritual practice as well, because it's about grounding and centering and getting connected to the oneness of all life. And so my goal is really to help elevate not only that animal that I'm being paid to talk to, but also all animals universally, globally.
Mm-hmm. And what do you do? So that brings me to a question. I'm just thinking, like, do you hear sort of a universal kind of communication from the animals, something, you know, for us humans?
Not necessarily. I try to tune in one animal at a time right now, although sometimes when working with wild animals, they have more of a global human message, you know, the dolphins and elephants and stuff are really about us living together in peace and harmony. But generally speaking, I speak to one animal at a time and on their behalf.
Mm-hmm. So what exactly, how does that work with animal communication? What exactly do you do?
That's a good question.
You teach that.
Yeah. So it's telephony at the most basic level, which sounds a little bit like science fiction, but the fact is all animals communicate to each other, both verbally and nonverbally, and through telepathy. So telepathy is simply sending or picking up on images, feelings, words or phrases. And a good example of that is we might be sitting in an office, you know, where we work, and someone walks by us, and we might be able to feel the anger as they walk past. We might be able to feel love. Maybe we walk into a room and we can feel what's been going on in that room. So that's a matter of, you know, feeling the energy or the feelings or emotions of the people or the animals that have been there and are kind of projecting that out. Sometimes also we pick up on thoughts or words. You might walk by someone on the street and all of a sudden you think, oh, I'd really love to go have an ice cream cone. Well, that maybe that other person was on the way to the ice cream shop to meet their friend, and that's all they were thinking about, and they were really projecting that out because the energy that we have about something is pretty key in projecting these things out to other animals, basically. We're all animals. So it's a matter of my sitting down and getting quiet and specifically tuning in to an animal to be able to pick up their images or their feelings, their thoughts. And it doesn't always come the same way. Just like people might learn or might excel at being wordsmiths or being creative visual artists, we have different, you know, different things we like to do. Some animals and some people are going to pick these up differently from each other. So I might get actual thoughts or words from one animal, but pictures and feelings from another animal. And when I have a session, I sit down, I get quiet, and I specifically tune into that animal and just kind of, you know, ask them what they want to tell me, and also if there's specific questions or concerns, I'm going to ask them those things as well. But the way I get the information from them might vary a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had an experience of a cat after my dog passed away, and we only had this cat, kind of was adopted from another home. We only had it like 6 months, and it was sitting on the sofa behind me, and I just had this instant, you know, I turned and looked at him, and there was this instant thought of he was going to leave soon. His healing work was over. He was really there to help us go through our last stages of being with our dog who passed at, you know, 16 years old. And it was just, it was very clear words, and yet it was instantly. And yeah. A week later, he got hit by a car.
And, oh, my goodness.
You know, and he wanted me to know that he was preparing me, because I just was getting, you know, recently, just the week before, with my dog passing, having to put him down. So, yeah, that was very poignant for me. But
yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah,
and that's the thing, is so many people don't necessarily pick up on the signals they're getting from their animals, but that's an awesome story.
Yeah, well, I think he was sitting there like behind me on the sofa, and I was probably picking up the energy like somebody's looking at me, because I just turned and looked, and then I got the message. Like, you know, he really wanted me to know. And so what's and why do people hire an animal communicator?
Well, like I said, there's a lot of reasons. Very often it's a health issue or behavior issue. So a dog might be barking a lot. A dog might be all of a sudden be afraid of something. So I talked to a dog not too long ago who was suddenly very anxious at night, was fine during the day, but suddenly very anxious at night. And when I connected with the dog, it's kind of a weird, interesting story, but the woman had actually brought in some mementos of her parents, and there was some weird energy connected with those. And so once I cleared that up and let the dog know he was safe and everything was okay, I actually just got an email from the woman saying, you know, he's been awesome for the last month. So sudden behavior shifts. People often want to know what happened, what's going on, because we can't always, or we don't always know enough to sit down and look to see what has really changed in the house or, you know, in that animal's world. Litter box issues are actually a very, very common reason people want to hire me. And by litter box, I mean both dogs and cats, you know, where they're going to the bathroom, mm-hmm. and
right
where they're not supposed to be going to the bathroom.
Yeah, that's common. Well, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back and talk more with Karen Cleveland.
A word of caution, if you prefer the status quo and you are not interested in improving every aspect of your life, this book will trigger the shift out of you. The Truth is Funny, Shift Happens is available now. Author Colette Steffen brings the powerful knowledge and life-changing energy and empowerment from the radio airwaves to the pages of her new book. To get your copy in paperback or ebook, visit thetruthisfunny.com today.
Artie Hoffman is the hottest psychic with the warmest heart and the host of the hit show Angels and Answers. A renowned psychic, medium, spiritual life coach, and an entertaining motivational speaker, Artie has helped over 15,000 people with his amazing intuitive gifts, his passion, and his humor. Call 877-ANGEL-02 to schedule a personal reading or to have your own psychic Artie party. That's 877-ANGEL-02. And visit ArtieHoffman.com and Angels and Answers on Facebook.
The 24th Annual WOW Conference, United We Change the World, is February 11th through the 15th. Featured guests are Dr. Christine Page on Creative Dragon Energy. Dr. Susan Shumsky will show you how to awaken your third eye. And Mira Kelly will present a two-day intensive workshop on Beyond Past Lives. Join WOW for intimate, experiential, life-changing workshops and evening presentations that will inspire you. You can choose two half-day workshops and receive one half-day workshop for free through December 31st. Join a supportive community of women on their journey to discover and develop their passions and purpose in life. Women of Wisdom is the place to be. This February 11th through the 15th, go to thewowconference.org. That's the WOWconference.org to discover all the diverse offerings WOW has to offer you.
What are vibes? We often use this word, but did you know vibes can actually be useful and help solve our everyday challenges? Embark on an exciting learning journey with Caitlin Keat, 11-time Visionary Award winner, specialist in vibrational energy, and the creator of Vibes Up. Join Caitlin as she takes you through the world of vibrational therapy and energy healing with natural solutions for a modern world. Visit vibesup.com to learn more today.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
1230 WBLQ.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. So we're talking about animal communication with Karen Cleveland. So Karen, can you give your website information where people can find out more about your work?
Sure. I am at KarenClevelandandTheAnimals.com. So that's all one word, no spaces. And Cleveland is like the city, C-L-E-V-E-L-A-N-D, KarenClevelandandTheAnimals.com.
Great. So I know you and you're going to be teaching this and the conference, but what do you find is required to learn how to communicate with animals?
I think there's three key things that people have to want to learn to communicate or to develop their communication with animals. One, maybe most important, is they have to believe that they can. So naysayers need not apply. But you have to really believe it's possible. And then I think most people need some guidance. So someone to let them know what to expect, how to do it, what the process looks like. And then practice, because as humans, we have an awful lot of doubt in our abilities about stuff. You know, and it can be anything. And the doubt might play a good role sometimes. It might keep us safe at times. So practice is going to help a person establish that. And I believe anyone can do it. I don't believe that only certain people can do it. But as long as you have those three things, now if someone's going to come by and say, oh, I can't do it, I've never been able to, I can't do it, then, you know, if they can't shift that thinking a little bit, they may not be able to, even though physically or perhaps intellectually, I know that they could do it if they applied themselves. So it's really, like I mentioned earlier, it's something that animals do naturally, and it's something that humans start off doing when they're born, but through society and through language skills, we lose that ability. So as soon as we start talking and assigning words to things and assigning specific meanings to those words, we start losing the ability to communicate telepathically with the animal. So just a willingness to learn and coming to a class or reading a book or watching a video, but doing it over and over until you're feeling confident and you have that practice in and are getting good feedback about the interpretations you're getting from the animal.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, let's talk about that. But the animal's response, I mean, do they, it's something curious that you wrote me is about animals telling secrets to you.
Okay, yeah. So secrets, animals, they're not necessarily going to tell on you. So if there's something going on in your house and you're calling me for a session because of a behavior issue, and then you start to worry, oh my gosh, what if he tells them about, you know, my boyfriend or something like that? They're not going to. So if the animal feels like there's a secret, they're very loyal, and they're not going to reveal that information. So sometimes I can feel that an animal is holding back, that they aren't being completely fully invested in the information I'm getting. And I'll talk to the person about it, because it's as sometimes it's as much a session for the person as the animal. But as I talk to the person about it, and if they reveal the information the animal was protecting, then the animal will begin to open up more. And actually, I did have an example of that the other day when I was in a woman's house, and she felt there was something happening between the animal and the roommate. And the animal wasn't going to let it on until the woman told me halfway through the session. And then everything became more clear. So I don't want people to be afraid that, oh, don't talk to my animal because I have all these secrets in my house, you know. I don't want the kids to find this out. I don't want my spouse to find something out. So the animal's probably not going to reveal that to me unless it's in the open as it is, or unless the person has started to talk about it.
They, makes sense. The loyalty makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, what about wild animals and farm animals?
Yeah. So any animal, theoretically, technically, can be communicated with. The thing about talking with a farm animal or a wild animal is that they have different frames of reference for life. So if I'm talking to a cat, in the conversation, we might talk about dinner, we might talk about toys, we might talk about the couch or the blanket or the bed, going for car rides. But when I'm talking with a wild animal or with a farm animal, they're not going to understand most of that stuff. They are more focused on play, perhaps, so different kinds of play, but not with toys. And they might be focused on food. But they're not going to understand life as a domestic animal is. So usually connecting with wild animals, when I do it, it is more of a service to the animal. For example, if there's animals encroaching in an area which is going to put them at danger, then it'll be a matter of my sending them messages to go back to, you know, to their safe land, wherever they are. And, you know, this happens with cougars and bears and stuff all the time. And in the Seattle area, anyway, as we build out into their homes, they have less areas. And as they come in, they put themselves at danger. So when I connect with wild animals, it's more or less as trying to help them out and keep them at a distance and keep them safe. So, but they're still very, very able to communicate and sometimes very welcoming to it, you know, very open to having this discussion about what they need to do to stay mm-hmm. safe.
Well, it's one other thing, and we have 1 minute left. Something that I said in my intro is about talking to dead animals, what that's like and
I love talking to dead animals. I know that sounds weird, but they are almost universally so full of love and so knowledgeable. And the thing about talking to animals that have passed on is it can bring such relief and closure to the person. And when if someone doesn't know exactly how their animal passed or something, you know, I can kind of help with letting them know if the situation, you know, if this is the truth of the situation, that the timing was right, that it went as planned, I guess, is the bottom line. Mm-hmm. And, but when I first started talking to dead animals, it kind of opened up a whole new world for me because it is another step into a belief system.
Yeah.
So it's
yeah.
awesome.
And like I say, people, whether they believe it or not, it brings some sense of closure. Well, thank you, Karen, for being on the show today.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah,
enjoyed it.
Everybody can check out her workshop, How to Listen When Animals Talk. It's going to be Sunday evening. All our Sunday evening workshops are open to men. That's February 14th, Valentine's Day. It's a good time to have the men and women there together. Also, previous guest Miriam Linderman, her workshop Living from Your Soul on Saturday, February 13th. So be sure to check out all the offerings we have at the website www.thewowconference.org. Remember, early birds go through December 31st. You know, it's quite an offer to, you know, register for two 3-hour workshops or one of our featured 1-day workshop and get a half a day workshop for free. And, you know, our conference is very different in that you can go the whole weekend or you can just go to one event. You can register for any event you want to individually. And that's just a great way to be at the conference and come in and out as you like. Just come for an evening. We've got some great evening events happening. We've got a dream dance that's put on by Dream Dance Cascadia on Saturday night. So check that all out on our website, www.thewowconference.org, and check out the Woman of Wisdom book. Could be a great holiday gift for women friends of yours. It's you can look at that on our website. Our main website is womanofwisdom.org, and check out our Woman of Wisdom book, our Woman of Wisdom CD, and everything else we have to offer there. They make great gifts. So this is Chris Stainis. I'm so glad that you were able to listen on the show today and discover our Woman of Wisdom presenters. I hope everybody has a great pre-holiday weekend.
You've been listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stainis. Tune in each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for Voices of Women Today. Radio with Chris Stainis.